little bit of game show music. It's that time again. Time for the Catholic Answers game show. Last round of this game show is called Final Judgment, and a lot of people think we should just name the whole game show Final Judgment, but we haven't. Nope, Nick says no, so until we can get Nick on board with that, we don't have a consensus, and we'll just have to go with the name Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host, and our super secret celebrity guest. He absolutely hates it when I introduce him that way, Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy.
Thanks for being here for another hour.
You're welcome, man. Glad to be here.
I'm
not a celebrity.
No, I know. I know. Yeah. I know you don't like that, but you are to your family.
Guest, yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I would hope so. I'm a celebrity. I hope my kids love me. I hope my wife loves me.
I think they do.
I think they look up to me.
Yeah. We got two guests. I'll introduce you to our guests, and then we'll go over the rules of the game show, and then we will play. I strongly encourage you that you play along at home. Get a piece of paper, a pencil, call grandma and grandpa, gather the kids around the radio, maybe light a fire. No, it's almost July. Wrong time to light a fire, but get yourself some iced tea, relax, play along, and see who in your family is the best at the Catholic Answers game show. Our first guest is Christopher in Burke, Virginia. You will be contestant number one. Christopher, are you there with us?
I'm here.
All right. So I was going to say, who are you and what's interesting about you, but I just said who you are. You're Christopher from Burke, Virginia. What's interesting about you, Christopher?
Well, my wife and I, Sarah, are about to celebrate our 13th anniversary, and we just had our fifth child, Timothy, back in May.
Congratulations! That is wonderful. That is really good news. All right. Well, I don't know our second contestant yet, but I'm already rooting for you. So let's go to our second contestant in Washington, D.C. Mike, you there with us, Mike?
I am.
And what's interesting about you, Mike?
I have been coaching football for almost 30 years, and I am currently the head football coach at the Catholic University of America.
Wow.
What?
That's really cool.
And you say the. Is that like the Ohio State? You just throw that on the beginning, Mike?
Well, if they can put the in front of Ohio, I can certainly put it in front of Catholic.
All right.
That's awesome.
I like it. I hope you don't run into anybody from Ohio, though. They're very protective of that over there in Ohio. All right, Mike, I changed completely now. I'm rooting for you. I am no longer rooting for Christopher. I'm rooting for you. You guys feel ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm going to go over the rules. And that for the folks at home, and then for you, gentlemen, and then if you're comfortable with the rules, we'll start playing. Again, I encourage you, get a piece of paper, get a pencil, gather grandma, grandpa, and the kids around the radio. Don't light a fire. Get some iced tea and play along at home. I'll say the questions twice for those of you playing along at home so that you'll get a chance to answer. I ask our contestants to let me say the questions twice before you answer so that those playing along at home will have time to work on their answers. And it goes like this. We have three parts to the game show. In parts one and two, you will each get three multiple choice questions. After parts one and two, whoever has the most correct answers will go on to their final judgment, and the other will be given a special parting gift and sent home. And if you are tied after rounds one and two, then Christopher, because he is contestant one, and I don't even know why he's contestant one, I don't know how we know that. Marie just assigns that. He gets to pick box A or B, and then we see what it says in the box he picked, and that is what we do. Whoever loses that heads home. One last rule, in rounds 21 and two, you each have two afterlife lines. We call them afterlife lines here. Sometimes called eternal life lines, but I hope that that's what you get, eternal life in the afterlife, but I don't know that until we send you through final judgment. Afterlife lines go like this. You can use one, and that is Carlo will eliminate one wrong answer, and then you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right. The other one is you can ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. Just give you the correct answer. Once you use an afterlife line, it is gone. If you use it in round one, it doesn't come back in round two. Is everybody clear on the rules?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, there's one other thing, though. When you ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, he must do so in Pig Latin, and then you will have to decipher that answer. Okay? Okay. I'm going to go with okay for both. All right, contestant number one. Carlo, you feel ready?
Let's do it, my friend.
Is your pig Latin any better? Or are you just?
It is not any better.
It is not
so
any better.
You know. I suggest they do not ask me because they may very well not be able to decipher.
So when you get a master's degree in philosophy, as you recently did.
Last year.
You don't have to master pig Latin at all? They don't?
No.
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 None of that.
Unfortunately not.
All right. Christopher in Burke, Virginia, contestant number, father of five, contestant number one. Here is your first question. In his second letter, oh, wait, I got to say something first before I do this. I forgot I divided the, today's game show, all the questions in part one will be about Saints Peter and Paul. Do either of you know why they'll be about Saints Peter or Paul? Can either of you guess?
I believe there's a solemnity on Monday.
Solemnity of St. Peter and Paul, yes, at the end of June. And then part two will all be about the sacrament of marriage. Do either of you know why the part two will all be about the sacrament of marriage? You shouldn't know this. It's because my wife, Missy, and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this week.
Oh, wow, congratulations,
So, yeah,
brother.
25 years married. So, well, thank you very, very much. It was way harder on her than me, but but we made it so far. All right, Saints Peter and Paul, then, in honor of the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul coming up. In his second letter, Peter says, we will one day...
Who's going first?
Oh, this is Christopher.
Okay.
In his second letter, Peter says that we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share in the divine nature. Let me say that again. In his second letter, Peter says we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share in the divine nature.
Well, I'm going to start early and ask Carlo to give me the right answer in pig Latin.
All right. Right,
right
away
off the
to
bat,
the
man.
Igpe Adenle, Carlo. Go for it.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. It's... All right. Remind me again what I have to do for pig Latin.
Oh, no. Come on, man. Okay.
All right.
Pig Latin goes like this.
Letter.
You take the first letter and you put it at the end of the word.
And then add,
and then add the
okay.
sound
right.
A.
Here we go.
The A sound.
Here we go. All right. Haresse, nie... Hete, evine de, ature ne.
I don't even know.
I'm going to repeat that first word. Haresse.
Yes. All right. So the question is, in his second letter, Peter says, we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share the divine nature.
I'm going to go with C, share the divine nature.
That is correct.
You
good.
Are correct.
Good job,
are you fluent
Chris.
In pig Latin? As the father of five, are you fluent in pig Latin?
We hear a lot of gibberish around here, but no pig Latin yet.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Mike, your first question. The first successor of Peter as the leader of the church in Rome was A, forgotten to history, B, Linus, C, James the Just. Peter's first successor... as leader of the church in Rome was A, forgotten by history, B, Linus, C, James the Just.
I'm going to go ahead and say B, Linus.
Good job. That is correct. Yeah, that's the stronger tradition. We find it in St. Irenaeus as well as other early fathers when they give us a list of the succession of the bishopric of Rome. But Irenaeus tells us that the blessed apostles, referring to Peter and Paul, having founded, that would refer to Peter, and built up, that would refer to Paul, committed into the hands of Linus the office of the episcopate. And what's interesting is Irenaeus says, of this Linus, Paul makes mention in the epistles to Timothy. And the reference there is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, where Paul makes mention of a Linus. And scholars kind of go back and forth if that's the actual Linus, but it does seem to be.
I tend to believe the early church writers. I just go with, like that guy, I mean,
Irenaeus, he would know.
He knows a lot better than I know.
Right, right. There is another tradition of who succeeded Peter. Like, there are some places in the tradition you'll find Anacletus as coming second.
Oh, yeah.
As being the first successor to St. Peter.
Yeah.
Irenaeus says it's Linus, then Anacletus coming in line and third. So,
and then the famous one, Clement.
Clement. That's correct. That's correct. So Linus, Anacletus, then Clement, the third successor, fourth bishop of Rome.
And why would you keep a list of the bishops of Rome? Why would the early church do that, Carlo?
Well, what Irenaeus says, because that succession is the line of succession that has the truth, the apostolic truth handed down to us from the apostles. For all the churches must agree with that church, the Church of Rome.
Christopher and Mike, you're tied at one each after one question, and already the first break is upon us. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll continue with the Catholic Answers Game Show with Christopher and Mike and Carla Broussard right after this.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too, and my girlfriend is also going with me. Wow. She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Yeah, that's the game show music, and that means it's Catholic Answers Game Show, all tied up one-to-one. Christopher in Burke, Virginia, and Mike in Washington, D.C., tied up one-to-one. We go now to, and all we one lifeline has been used already. Christopher used the Pig Latin one, and I'm very grateful for that. Love to hear Carlo speak in Pig Latin. Question number two of round one for Christopher. Here's your second question. In the letter to the Galatians, Christopher, Peter rebukes St. Paul. St. Paul rebukes Peter. Or Paul and Peter rebuke the Romans. Once again, in the letter to the Galatians, A, Peter rebukes St. Paul. B, St. Paul rebukes Peter. Or C, Peter and Paul rebuke the Romans.
I believe it's B, St. Paul rebukes St. Peter.
That is correct. Good job, Galatians 2:11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned.
By the way, I just want to say this while Carlos here. That does not prove that Peter had no authority. As a matter of fact, it tends to do just the opposite. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to Catholic Answers Focus and listen to our recent interview with our guest, Carlo Broussard, on the instance in which St. Paul rebuked Peter, Carlo will explain it to you.
There's actually a chapter in my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, which you guys are offering like promo code.
That's right, Meeting the Protestant Challenge on sale. Look at you selling books, way to go. It's not even getting close to Christmas time. But all right, I'll just say it then. Right now, Meeting the Protestant Challenge is on sale, 30% off. Carrie puts it on sale whenever Carlo is on the air, and so you better grab it up while it's on sale. 30% off right now at shop.catholic.com. Shop.catholic.com. Mike, you are next. Here is your second question. Which of the following is true about St. Peter? Which of the following is true about St. Peter? He was such a powerful healer that people laid the sick out in places where they thought Peter's shadow might fall on them. Or B, he only healed when the apostles were all gathered together. Or C, he showed no evidence of being a healer at all. Question number two for Mike. I will repeat it for those playing at home. Which of the following is true about St. Peter? A, he had such power as a healer that people laid the sick out in places where they thought Peter's shadow might fall on them. B, Peter only healed when all the apostles were gathered together. Or C, Peter showed no evidence of being a healer at all.
I think I'll go with A.
No.
I was so hoping you would do Pig Latin on that one, because that is the longest answer we've ever had on this program. Peter was such a powerful healer that people laid the sick out to just have his shadow fall on them, Carlo?
That's what St. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. They even carried out the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and pallets, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2 chapters earlier, he actually healed a paralytic. That's when he, you know, the individual is asking for money, and he says, "Gold nor silver do I have to give you, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk." And then in Acts chapter 5, everybody's bringing the sick just so that his shadow would pass over them.
See, I kind of think this has, maybe this doesn't work as an apologetic, but I think there's a little element of this that argues for the power of relics.
It's related.
If his shadow can heal you, then that argues
maybe
for
his
the
garment.
Yeah, his,
or
right.
Bones left over. From
right.
Him. Yeah.
Which I've seen, by the way.
Cool.
I've seen the bones
Lucky
of St. Peter.
You. Yeah. I have not. I've been to Rome, but I haven't seen it.
So, well, I'm way older than you. So you still have time. I was overwhelmed when I saw him. All right. Question number three, round one. We are still tied 1-1. Christopher, your last question of round one. The Apostle Paul was A, a Sadducee, B, a temple priest, C, a Pharisee. Once again, for those playing at home, the Apostle Paul was A, a Sadducee, B, a temple priest, or C, a Pharisee.
C, a Pharisee.
He knew that one right away.
Man, no
he knows
problem.
His Bible, man. Knows that Bible.
Yeah, he says himself that he's a Pharisee. Paul does, I mean.
Oh, right.
Not Christopher. He didn't say he's a Pharisee.
Acts 23:6, that's when Paul says, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. With respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial."
By the way, if I may say this, a lot of good people were Pharisees. Not all the
Indeed,
Pharisees.
Yeah.
They were a good group in many ways. All right.
And in fact, Jesus sided with them on several issues,
right.
Such as the resurrection.
Right.
The Sadducees denied the resurrection, the Pharisees affirmed it, and Jesus sided with them on that particular issue.
Right. If you had to be one, I'd have rather been a Pharisee than a Sadducee. Seriously, the Sadducees, not so much. The bishops, this is your last question of round one, Mike. We're all tied up, so don't blow this. The bishops of the Orthodox churches are A, not successors of the apostles as Catholic bishops are, B, are successors of the apostles, C, are successors only of St. Paul, but not of St. Peter. Question number three for you, I'll repeat it again for those playing at home. The bishops of the Orthodox churches are A, not successors of the apostles as Catholic bishops are, B, successors of the apostles, or C, successors only of St. Paul, but not of St. Peter?
I think I'm going to have to use an afterlife line.
Okay.
And I will ask Carlo to give me the right answer in Pig Latin.
Thank you so much, Mike. Go ahead, Carlo.
Okay, here we go. okay, all right, here we go. Assessors say, "Phoe, hete, pasosai."
Good luck, Mike. Hope that made sense to you.
So I think it was B, with successors of the apostles.
That's right.
You Amen are correct.
Good job. Yes,
you are correct.
Our Orthodox brothers and sisters, that they have valid bishops. Those bishops are valid and legitimate successors to the apostles. What distinguishes them from Catholic bishops is
union with the Pope.
There you go. And we got a great book recently published by Catholic Answers Press on that issue by Joe Heschmeyer,
which is one of the prizes at the end of the show.
Oh, cool. Called so, Pope Peter.
Pope Peter, yeah. But I always like to stress with people how close we are to the Orthodox.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
sure.
So close to the Orthodox. Indeed. And we're not mad at you, Orthodox. I hope you're not mad at us. trying to make up. We aren't mad at them, right?
No.
Okay, good. Thanks.
But we do recognize the essential differences.
Right, yeah. All right, we're into round two, and we have time to do the first question of round two before we have to take another break. Our contestants in the Catholic Answers game show are Christopher in Burke, Virginia, and Mike in Washington, D.C. And we go now to round two, all tied up, and each contestant has only one eternal lifeline left after lifeline, and that is the 50-50. Your first question, contestant number one, Christopher, in round two is, oh, by the way, all of round two is about the sacrament of marriage. In honor of my wife, Missy, who survived 25 years of marriage with me as of this week.
Happy anniversary, Missy.
She's still crying. Every married couple, no, even married couples, Christopher, may not resort to in vitro fertilization. Even married couples may not resort to in vitro fertilization because A, God creates life without our cooperation and we cannot interfere with that. B, in vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or C, there is no certainty that an artificially conceived person will have a soul. Once again, for those playing at home, even married couples may not resort to in vitro fertilization because A, God creates life without our cooperation and we cannot interfere with that. Or B, in vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or C, there's no certainty that an artificially conceived person will have a soul.
In vitro fertilization separates the conception from the conjugal act of the parents.
Very good.
That's pretty good, and he gave the answer,
yeah,
too.
That's pretty good.
He didn't just go B. He gave the whole thing.
Amen.
Good for
that.
You.
Yeah, paragraph 2376 in the Catechism states that these techniques, heterologous artificial insemination and fertilization, infringe the child's right to be born of a father and mother known to him and bound to each other by marriage. And of course, there's a whole lot of philosophical principles underlying that teaching.
But let me just say this. If you were conceived by in vitro fertilization, you have a soul.
Don't, amen.
Like, never worry about that. Every child conceived, no matter the method of their conception, has a soul.
Amen to that. And they're created in the image and likeness of God. Right?
Yeah, right.
And that they're a human being with dignity. We love them.
Right. It's just like if our parents weren't married when we were conceived.
Yeah.
We still get the same soul.
That's right. It's an interesting thing of the mystery of how God cooperates, right? That God acts in human history, even in these cases where children are brought about through immoral means, right?
Yeah.
But that God still acts and directly creates a rational soul.
You know who else has soul?
Who?
Ray Charles. Oh, man.
Oh,
no, he does. Ray Charles has soul.
I had to take off the philosophical cap for a second. It took a while.
Carlos looking at him like, what are you talking about? Okay, it's a different kind of soul. All right, let's get one more question in before we have to go to the bank. At least one more question in. This is Mike. This is your first question of round one. I got to say, I'd be scared of Christopher right now because he nailed it on the IVF one. So here's your question. Catholics believe that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond, C, a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment. So listen carefully. This is a tricky question. For those playing at home, Catholics believe that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond, C, a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment. Mike, your answer.
I'm going to go with B, lifelong bond.
Mike's been hanging around those moral philosophers at the Catholic Catholic University of America, man. Yes, that is correct. Paragraph 1644 in the Catechism makes that clear, that the unity and indissolubility of the spouse's community of persons embraces their entire life. And we have it on St. Paul's teaching in Divine Revelation in Romans chapter 7, verse 2. A married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. So if she marries another, she's not guilty of adultery because the bond is only for this life.
I like that Mike didn't fall for a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment, because in cases of annulment, there was no
bond
marriage
to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, so
right?
that's why I tried to emphasize the word marriage.
But even A is a tricky one too. The eternal bond, there are a lot of Catholics out there who think that bond, that real bond that makes man and woman, husband and wife, continues to exist in the afterlife in heaven. We talked about that on a previous show when we talked about heaven. We had a couple of callers asking about those relationships and how that bond does not continue. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to recognize, I'm not going to recognize my wife as my wife in this life, right?
No, no. All the bonds that we have are still there, just not that marital bond. Right. But all the interpersonal bonds.
That's right. We're talking about that real fancy word here, ontological, like that reality that makes man and woman, husband and wife.
Like for a priest. He's a priest forever. When he's in heaven, he is a priest.
It's always
still there.
That is correct.
Yeah, but I tell you what, we probably get more calls on people who want to know if their dog is going to be in heaven with them than whether their husband or wife. It's going to be a, what does that tell you about human nature?
Right, right. We got that question too last time.
All right. We got two great contestants. We're all tied up. We either have geniuses or I'm terrible at writing questions. It's the Catholic Answers game show. We got to continue with round two. Then we'll have one person head on to final judgment with us. So we find out who's going on to their final judgment right after this on the Catholic Answers game show.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. I'm really proud of the two episodes of Catholic Answers Focus that we have for you this week. And if you haven't yet become a subscriber to our free podcast, this is definitely the week you should start. Monday, we've got an interview with Father Hugh Barber about the relationship between your soul and the Blessed Trinity. How is it that the triune God relates to your soul? Talk about news you can use. And Wednesday, we tackle Christopher Columbus with the world's leading Columbus scholar, Dr. Carol Delaney. Is it time to give up on Columbus? In the light of modern scholarship, should we be taking down Columbus statues and murals? Prepare to be surprised by the truth of the man. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Focus wherever you get your podcasts or listen anytime at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Monday on More to Life, Manic Monday
will help you reclaim your peace at the start of the week.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now, back to Catholic Answers.
Catholic Answers Game Show. We are right in the middle of the game show. It is a neck and neck competition. It's closer than Ford Ferrari. See that movie, Ford Ferrari?
Oh, fantastic show.
Christopher from Burke, Virginia is contestant number one. He's a father of five, newest baby, just came in May, and we congratulate you on that, Christopher. We're very impressed that you sound like such a well-rested person, given the new baby in the house. Our other contestant is Mike from Washington, D.C., and he is the coach of the Catholic University football team. As a journalist, I am obligated to ask a question if the appropriate, you know, like when you get somebody on the mic, you got to ask them a question. So, Mike, are you going to have a football season this year or not? What's going to happen at the Catholic University?
We are working towards it. We have plans in place. And as of right now, we are planning on having it.
Oh, wow.
So we just need to be ready for anything at this point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're going to need you to beat MIT, okay?
Like,
seriously, we cannot lose to MIT. I mean, it's faith and science. We're going to need I got to say this while we got Mike, too.
They are not opposed. They are reconcilable.
The faith and science. Okay, I'm sorry. I made a joke about faith and science. I'm so sorry. Now Carla's going to give me the
joke. You can't make that joke around me, man.
I can't make that joke around a Thomas. But I got to say, Catholic University is a major school, and it's really genuinely Catholic. Wouldn't you agree with that, Mike? I mean, I feel like this, it's a school we can be proud of. You know, it's not. We got a lot of Catholic universities that are kind of in name only, but you guys are a Catholic school.
Yes, that's 100%, and it's harder with that age group to, I think, sometimes. But President Garvey does a phenomenal job of helping them see the truth and value in being authentically Catholic.
Oh, we're not going to start bragging about President Garvey. I'm just teasing. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad to hear it because we know we've got lots of these small Catholic schools who are really trying very hard with the Catholic identity. It's great to have a good, big, healthy, well-known school that's very deadly serious about its Catholic identity.
Yeah, they have a very robust philosophy department. I follow some of the professors there and the lectures that they give, and their press is phenomenal. So Catholic University of America Press and the publications that they put out is fantastic stuff.
Yeah. So all that is to say, if this ends in a tie, we're getting rid of Christopher. We're keeping Mike. Okay. So all right. Where are we? Are you guys, help me out, Nick. What question am I on? Question number five? No.
Number four, right here.
Oh. Okay. So this is question number one of round two. Question number two. Mike, how many questions have I asked you in round two?
One.
I've asked you one. And how many have I asked you, Christopher?
Just one.
Okay, so we're going to Christopher with his second question of round two. Marie was telling me that. I just wasn't looking through the glass at the right spot. Okay.
That's number three, I think.
Christopher, when a baptized Protestant marries a baptized Christian, A, their marriage is sacramental. B, their marriage is valid, but not sacramental. C, their marriage is not valid. Once again, for those playing at home, when a baptized Protestant marries a baptized Catholic, their marriage is A, sacramental, B, valid, but not sacramental, or C, not valid.
It is valid and sacramental, provided it is done in accordance with the church, you know, with the good sign-off from the bishop and stuff.
It's not an essay question, all right? It's a multiple choice. But yeah, you did really well.
Brother, you did. Without dispensation in the Protestant church.
Yeah. Dude, you totally knocked it out of the park. That was a grand slam. In fact, when I was reading over this before the show, I said, oh no, they might get confused because it's on condition that it's in the church, that the Catholic is getting married
with a dispensation from the bishop.
Well, that's for laicity.
Yeah.
But it still would be valid even if he wouldn't. But still, getting a Catholic marrying a Protestant within the Catholic Church.
Right. That's what I should have added to that.
Yeah. But as Christopher was talking about the dispensation is necessary for laicity of this sort of marriage, right?
Yeah.
But not validity. So only if you're marrying a non-baptized person will the dispensation from the bishop be necessary for validity, as I understand it. But that was awesome. I was so proud of
that.
Chris,
was good.
He put in all the nuances and the conditions. That was fantastic.
All right, so Chris, you don't have to write the essay at the end of the course. You're dispensed from that. All right, your number two question of round two for Mike. Marriage is the only sacrament, Mike. Marriage is the only sacrament that A, was already an institution before Christ raised it to the status of sacrament, B, no priest of the Catholic Church can receive, or C, the government has the right to deny. Once again, for those playing at home, marriage is the only sacrament that A, was already an institution before Christ raised it to the status of a sacrament, B, that no priest of the Catholic Church can receive, or C, that the government has the right to deny.
A,
Very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Because God made man and woman that the two shall be joined and become one flesh from the get-go.
From the get-go. Right.
That's it, brother.
And then Jesus in Matthew's gospel, what God has joined
together, let no man put asunder. Yeah, and Jesus raises it to the level of sacrament so that through this natural institution now will be a means by which grace will be communicated.
Yeah. I thought maybe someone might get tripped up on no priest of the Catholic Church can receive, because most people would say a priest can't get married.
That's right. But you said no priest.
Right.
But there are some priests in the Catholic Church who are married.
Like Maronite Rite, for example.
Correct. And even those former...
Or Melkite Rite. Maybe both. I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But like, for example, my pastor at the Ordinariate Parish in Marietta,
right.
He's married,
yeah.
Former Anglican, converted to Catholicism. So within the Ordinariate, within the Catholic Church, many of the priests are married. That's even here in the Latin Rite, right? In the West.
That's right. Right. Even with special dispensation.
With special permission. Correct.
Final question of round two for Chris in Burke, Virginia. Chris, it is a grave offense against marriage, A, for spouses to attempt to regulate the spacing of children, B, for governments to coerce parents to have fewer children, or C, for a person to seek an annulment if the spouse does not want it. Once again, for those playing at home, it is a grave offense against marriage, A, for the spouses to attempt to regulate the spacing of children, B, for the government to coerce parents to have fewer children, or C, for a person to seek an annulment if the spouse does not want it.
I believe I know, but I'm going to use my last afterlife line so as not to commit the sin of pride.
All right, so let's get not to commit the sin of pride. Good for you, Christopher. So eliminate one wrong answer.
I'll eliminate A, for spouses to attempt to regulate the spacing of children.
Do you want me to give you the two that are left, or are you all set?
Please.
So the two that are left is, it's a grave offense against marriage, either B, for governments to coerce parents to have fewer children, or C, for a person to seek an annulment if the spouse does not want it.
I'm going to go with B.
Amen to that.
It is indeed a grave offense. I'm impressed that you eliminated A, because I thought that was the trickiest one. It is actually acceptable for parents or for spouses to attempt to regulate the spacing of children. That's acceptable.
On condition number one, you have just reasons to do so.
Yeah.
And then on condition number two, you use the morally permitted means to achieve that end of spacing children.
Which God gave us.
Which would mean natural family planning.
Right.
Which excludes contraception.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much, Christopher. You have made it through rounds one and two with a perfect score. So it all comes down to this question for Mike in Washington, D.C. Mike, the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls marriage A, a union of God with the human race, B, a collaboration for raising children, or C, a partnership of the whole of life. Once again, for those playing at home, the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls marriage A, a union of God with the human race, B, a collaboration for raising children, or C, a partnership of the whole of life.
I'm going to follow Christopher's lead and ask Carlo to eliminate one of the wrong answers.
Well, Carlo, will you eliminate one wrong answer?
All right, I'll eliminate B, a collaboration for raising children.
All right, let me give you those two answers again then. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls marriage A, a union of God with the human race, or B, a partnership of the whole of life.
A partnership of the whole of human life.
Yep, correct.
Nice.
That's C. He said A, but he meant C.
Oh,
he got, but he got, that's right. He got the answer right. Good job. Good job. Yeah, that's paragraph 1601 in the Catechism. It makes it very clear, calling marriage a partnership of the whole of life. And this actually is a question that was answered previously.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, in the question where it had to do with a marriage being a lifelong bond.
Oh, oh. So it's pretty... But the whole of life also doesn't mean just the duration of life. It means everything that you have is shared as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Right. Good to wife is constantly throwing my stuff out.
But so then again, this was a question having to do with what the catechism says specifically. Right. So that's different. Yeah.
Good. Okay. We haven't done this for a while. We are now through two rounds. I have to, we got to eliminate one person and then we will go to final judgment. Although Marie, I'd keep both of their names on file for when we're doing the Tournament of Champions at the end of the year, if we are able to do that, because these are both champions. These are undefeated men. But Christopher, because hello, Christopher, I hope you weren't watching on the internet. I just gave away the correct answer. Christopher, you got to pick box B or box A, and then that will tell us who's going home. Box B or box A, Christopher?
I'm going to go with A.
All right, he picks box A, and that says... Sorry, you do not advance. I'm sorry, Christopher. Christopher, you've been a great contestant, and we're going to give you both of Carlo's books. Carlo is the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And, of course, the author of the one we've been saying
awesome.
Is on...
Awesome? Is that what you're going to
say? The awesome author of the one we've been saying is on sale right now. That is Meeting the Protestant Challenge, 50-something.
How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs.
Christopher, I'm sorry that you eliminated yourself.
That's all right. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. Mike, congratulations. Good luck.
Yeah, it was great having you, Chris.
What a great contestant. What a great contestant. Amen. We'll send you both of those books.
Thanks, Christopher.
Hang on the line so Marie can get your data. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back for Mike's final judgment.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Fallen away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing, and my mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary, and they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary, and eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group, I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Catholic Answers Game Show music. Our special guest, Carlo Broussard, here helping us out. And Christopher got eliminated, not because he got any wrong, but because he picked box A, and that eliminated him. And so we are left for final judgment for Mike from Washington, D.C. Mike, do you feel ready to face your final judgment?
I hope so.
Yeah. Do you need an anointing or anything before facing your final judgment?
I'll always ask for the apostolic blessing if I get a chance.
Yeah, right. Good choice. Excellent. All right. So it's 10 true or false questions. For each question, I'm going to say the name of a book before I ask the question, and you win that book if you get that question right. If you get all seven correct, we add... Trent Horn's brand new course on our School of Apologetics. You get to take Trent Horn's course on ethics, the introduction to ethics, at the School of Apologetics. Ready to go, Mike, on the true or false questions?
Ready.
All right. The first one you're playing for is Pope Peter. That's a brand new book from our good friend Joe Heschmeyer. I don't have a copy of it here, or I did a second ago, but I can't find it, so I can't hold it up. But you're playing for Pope Peter. Here you go. True or false? The earliest non-biblical Christian text is sometimes referred to as the teaching of the 12 apostles and is also called the Didache.
True.
Good job.
Yep. I don't think we know that for an absolute certainty, but we're pretty certain that's the earliest non-biblical Christian writing.
Some will date Clement's letter to the Corinthian church, Clement of Rome, to like AD 70. But I mean, even
that would put it in the same ballpark anyway.
Right, but even the Didache, some will put it even before that.
The Didache, famous for telling you how to baptize. The
baptize
earliest.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then also showing us that the early Christians, when living water was not available, then the pouring method was used, yeah. And thus valid Christian baptism.
I love it because it's so practical. It's like, if there's cold living water, baptize with that. If there's no cold water, use warm water. There's no living water, just get some water and
just pour it over.
Pour it over. I'm like,
three times. Just pour it three times, yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, you won, Pope Peter. Congratulations. So you are now playing for John DeRosa. John DeRosa was our guest earlier in the week, a great guest. A friend of yours, Carl.
Yeah, good friend of mine.
One Less God Than You is the name of the book. And here it is. True or false, Mike? The Gospel of Luke is probably based on the preaching of St. Paul. Our first wrong question.
No. You know, that's tricky. That's actually
because Luke was a good friend of Paul.
That's right.
But so, I was thinking, Luke says right in the beginning,
Luke 1:1-2, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things which have been accomplished among us, just as they were delivered to us by those from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So he bases his gospel on eyewitnesses.
And guess who was not an eyewitness?
Paul was not. He was an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord,
yes.
But not of Jesus' life and his ministry. But what trips us up there is our mind immediately associates Luke with Paul. And yeah. We miss the gospel
right.
of Luke. So that was a good question. Sorry,
okay,
I'm
finally
proud of
I asked
that tricky
hard
question, man.
I apologize for that. And I'll tell you what, One Less God Than You, How to Answer the Slogans, Cliches, and Fallacies That Atheists Use to Challenge Your Faith is a really, really good book. And now you're not getting it.
Come on, man. Where's the punchline? But...
Oh, should we let him play for it again? Okay, we'll do...
Oh, what? No, I thought you were going to give it to him anyway.
No, I'm not giving away free books for nothing.
Come
Get
on,
the
man.
Question right
we're
if you
in
want.
In modern culture, everybody wins, right? Nobody loses.
No, this is a football coach, man. He knows you need to earn it. You earn it on the
Amen
field.
To
or
that,
you don't,
brother.
Is that right, coach? Am I right?
No, you're 100% right. Don't give it away. I got to earn it.
Okay, so I'll let you earn it this time. We'll play again for One Less God Than You. True or false? Okay, now. I feel bad about this because... Well, I'm just going to give it to you.
Just tell you.
True or false? The Gospel of Mark is probably based on the preaching of St. Peter.
True.
Yes! Good job, coach.
I thought you were going to question yourself on that one.
Yeah, we know that from an early Christian doctor, Eusebius, an early church historian.
Yeah.
He actually records Papias, early Christian bishop, second century Christian bishop, who's talking about the elder John, who was an eyewitness of Jesus's ministry,
yeah,
and how this elder John informed the bishop Papias that Mark was the one, like the Gospel of Mark was basically the memoirs of Peter.
Yeah.
And so that's where that tradition comes
from. And it
makes
sense because Mark is a follower, first of St. Paul, and then of St. Peter.
That's right. And so it's a very, very early tradition. So we have evidence, historical evidence of a close associate of eyewitness giving us records of Jesus's life, which is, according to the historical standards for ancient literature and ancient events, that's gold.
All right. So question number three, you are playing for a book called Secrets of Heaven. You really want to win this one. This is from our friend Sebastian Walsh. Question number four, excuse
Father.
Me. Father Sebastian Walsh. Did
go.
I not say Father?
No, you missed it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Father Sebastian Walsh, just one of the greats. Just
yeah,
one of
fantastic
the greats.
Fantastic guy. And mine.
And not everybody who can talk to you about the faith can write about it, but turns out he can.
He can do both.
So I hope you win this one. True or false, Mike, true or false, in the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul argued forcefully that Christians should not be suing each other in Roman courts.
Good job. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. When one of you has a grievance against a brother, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more matters pertaining to this life?
St. Paul, very few people know that, but he did recommend overturning statues, however, if you're upset. No, he did not. I'm only joking.
And notice he's speaking about amongst Christians.
Yeah, but each Christian other. Don't brethren. Sue each other in a Roman court. All right. You won that book. Now you're playing for Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Carlo's book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. True or false? The Apostolic Fathers were Peter, James, and John. Mike, true or false? The Apostolic Fathers were Peter, James, and John.
False.
Good job, Mike. Yes. Yeah, the Apostolic Fathers refer to those very early Christian writers, Clement of Rome, Polycarp of Smyrna, and Ignatius of Antioch.
And they knew the apostles.
Indeed, that's why
they're called the Apostolic Fathers. These are people who wrote about early Christianity and knew the apostles. All right, you're doing really, really well. Now you're playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way. Prepare the Way. True or false? St. Paul urged his fellow Christians to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. True or false? St. Paul urged his fellow Christians to work out their salvation in fear and trembling.
False.
Oh, that's true, brother.
No.
Yeah.
It's you've been listening to too much Protestant radio, man.
Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, St. Paul says, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So,
Right now you're playing for, you know what? I'm going to, I want you to get Prepare the Way. So we'll play again for Prepare the Way. But I do want to throw in Catholic Answers, 20 Answers, Faith and Works. Just to help you on this one. All right, we'll add that one. So you're playing for those two books. Your final question, true or false, Mike, St. Peter said that some things in the letters of St. Paul are hard to understand. True or false, St. Peter...
True.
Oh, all right.
Very good.
He's not waiting for me.
Yes, good job. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Talking about Paul's letters, Peter says there are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. So that's a clear warning that it's possible to twist the scriptures, which in turn leads to our own destruction. It leads to sinful behavior, right?
Yeah.
And separation from the Lord. So it's very important that we get our reading and interpretation of scripture right, which means... That's why it's very important to read scripture within the heart of the church.
You're a great guest, Mike. You've won Pope Peter, One Less God Than You, Secrets from Heaven, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Prepare the Way, and 20 Answers, Faith and Works. I would make sure you put a green check mark next to Prepare the Way, because he did win that on the last question. Also, it turns out I am now a fan of the football team of the Catholic University.
That's cool, man. So if we're ever in D.C., we're going to have to get some tickets.
What's the name of the team, though? I don't even know. What's the name of my team now?
We are the Cardinals.
Oh, you're the Cardinals. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that like Catholic Cardinal?
Or? Yeah. What kind of Cardinals are you? Are you like Cardinal Newman and Cardinal, or you are like the bird, the Cardinals?
The mascot looks like a bird, but I think they were going for something bigger.
All right. And so I got to get myself a t-shirt.
Maybe we can go and get the old Cardinal outfit with the big hat, you know, and the long.
When they're playing, we'll wear that.
We'll wear that in the stands and cheer.
All right, Carlo and I are coming to a game if it's allowed. Thanks, Mike. I got to let you go. No, hang on. Make sure Marie's got everything she needs from you, and then we will send you your fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. Thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Chris and Mike did very well. Two great contestants. Indeed.
Two really, really good contestants. Hey, Carlo, I want to tell you something I'm thinking about and I'm going to be praying about this weekend. I'm just going to share it with you while we got a minute.
Far away.
There's a Supreme Court decision on abortion that they have waited until the last day of the term to come out. And it'll come out next Monday or Tuesday.
Mm.
I have a feeling that it may mean big things, the fact that they waited till the end of the term. I don't know anything about that, but I'm going to be praying about that. And I hope that everybody else will pray about that this weekend, that the Supreme Court was kind of mixed in its decisions this year. But maybe they'll end the term with a really positive. It's a case about Louisiana, about abortion clinics in Louisiana. But there's always the chance that the Supreme Court, will use that as an opportunity to maybe move some things in a positive direction.
Yeah, we pray for victory for life.
Yeah, amen. Pray for victory for life. Carlo Broussard has been our guest. He's an apologist here at Catholic Answers. If you want him as a speaker, we're going to be getting back out on the road. Go over to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com and get Carlo to come wherever you have speakers. Especially, he'd like to be speaking in the Washington, D.C. area on a Saturday when the Cardinals are playing. All right, so if you, if you can get him in on a weekend.
We got a new friend, man.
Yeah, we got a new team, the Cardinals. My two teams, the Indianapolis Colts. Do you know why the Indianapolis Colts?
Why?
Because Philip Rivers is the quarterback there now.
Oh.
So that's my team.
Cool.
I'll never give up on the Chargers, but now that's my team this year. And now I got the Cardinals in
there you go.
In Washington, D.C. Thanks, Carlo.
Hey, thank you, Sire. It was great fun, man.
And we will take a little break and be back. I can't stand it. I hate when we have to go home from this program. But you know what? It's still true. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And I think it's true. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.